scope of the study was to look at the industrial base from the perspective of the effects of policy decisions and strategy decisions by the Department of Defense to determine what sectors of the defense industry might be affected by those decisions. We looked at a number of illustrative scenarios, not necessarily the ones that the Pentagon would look at, but ones that we created in order to decide whether, in fact, decisions might affect what we're able to provide in the future.
And what was the conclusion? What did you find?
The conclusion is that policy decisions do, in fact, affect certain sectors of the defense industrial base. For example, we looked at a much more robust power projection scenario that than the one we have right now, and determined that a number of sectors would require substantially more augmentation in order to provide the capabilities that the department would require for that scenario.
So when you say force projection, that means launching attacks on other nations or responding to situations far away without a whole tail going with it. More forward tooth, but the tail being back in the United States?
Yeah, we posited that under that robust scenario, much of America's military capability would be based in the United States and would be projected to trouble spots on the globe when necessary.
And you're saying that there are gaps in the industrial base that could support that kind of scenario?
There are. And those gaps, it isn't necessarily the case that the industrial base can't provide it. It's that there may well be a requirement for more capacity in the industrial base, different types of people and materials, and a longer time frame to provide that than the department might assume.
Okay, so let's take a real case example, a real-life case, the cancellation of the F-22, if that, and that's being debated. But let's assume for a moment, just for sake of argument, that it is canceled, and there's a large number of contractors that support that plane, and there's a lot of new technologies in it, a lot of very cutting-edge technologies. If that were to go away, would the United States, do you think, be in danger of losing certain capabilities that are necessary to produce a weapon of that capability?
Well, we didn't look at specific programs exactly, but we did look at sectors. And one of the scenarios we examined would have required less tactical air of the type we built.
We're used
now.
To, yeah.
Yeah, and we found that rather quickly, facilities and especially the design and development capability for manned tactical aircraft would degrade. And if we found that we had made a mistake and required that capability in the future, that it would take substantial time and cost to rebuild it.
In other words, it's almost as if the nation, say, decided we're not going to eat soybeans anymore, and then there's no soybean farmers anymore, and then 10 years later we want soybeans, there's nobody there to grow them.
Exactly.
That's a simple example, but that's the kind of thing you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Modern military weapon systems are very complex, and they require specialized skills, and those skills are perishable. And they also require certain facilities and tooling to be able to build them. The defense industry today operates under a lot of different market forces than it did 20 years ago. And those market forces require much more efficiency from the industrial base and much more attention to shareholder profits. So if something is no longer needed, it's not going to be retained unless it's paid for.
In other words, facilities, and this, I'm not mentioning this one in particular, but as an example, say the Lockheed famous Skunk Works, which is probably an expensive facility to maintain, where they look at cutting-edge types of technologies that may not yet have a customer, that kind of activity you think might disappear?
Yeah, one of the examples we cite in our assessment is the facility that was built specifically to construct the B-2 bomber. When that program ended, that facility became excess, and today it's a Walmart plaza.
Wow. We're talking with Fred Downey, the Vice President of National Security for the Aerospace Industries Association. I wanted to ask you about the Quadrennial Defense Review, this four-year exercise that is so entrenched in the operations of the Pentagon. Don't they think about those things within the Pentagon when they do the QDR?
Well, unfortunately, Tom, no. What we found is that we have been so successful at building technological dominance into our national security that there's a general assumption that industry can and will support whatever course that DoD sets. In fact, Barry Watts from the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments, in a very excellent broad report on the industrial base, pointed out that there's almost no mention of industrial base in the last three quadrennial defense reviews, and in the last quadrennial defense review, the word industry occurred only one time.
Okay, so one of the goals of your report then is to maybe get consideration of the industrial base into the QDR.
Yeah, we're not saying that the industrial base is broken. In fact, our industrial base is the most robust in the world. It builds the best military systems in the world. But our report says that the policy choices can affect what, when, and how industry can support our military, and that the best way to ensure that we don't make a mistake is to include an assessment of the industrial base in all of the strategic assessments that the United States does, and specifically right now, the Quadrennial Defense Review.
Now, Secretary of Defense Gates has pretty much seems to have set the tone, getting back to aircraft. He wants much more in the unmanned area and wants to get rid of several programs that are manned aircraft. And that would seem to have a lot of effect, I would think, on the industrial base, because if you design and build something that's unmanned, that pretty much changes everything in the way you design and build it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there are definite...
I mean, they all fly, but mm-hmm. beyond that...
Sure. There are definite differences, and the initial and most important effect would be on the design and development capacity for the manned tactical aircraft. That's a very specialized type of endeavor, and the people are very experienced. If you lose them, and many of them are older, nearing retirement eligibility, so if you lose those people, you don't get them back, not too easily, and you don't have, in this country, we're not producing enough engineers as it is, so it would be a while before we'd be able to replace that capacity.
Now, you spent about a quarter of a century as a career person in the Army. What's your take on the future combat systems and the pullback from some of the technologies that and products that were developed there?
Well, you know, we didn't look at the future combat system specifically, but I think as a general comment, what we'd say is it's absolutely important that we retain the capability to design and build new and better systems. So to the extent that the department allows that to degrade while they look for another solution for the Army, I would think that's not a very good development.
So just to get back to the report, your main recommendation right now is get considerations of the supply base into that QDR.
Yeah, we made a number of recommendations. They're not overly specific, but our first and foremost, we said institutionalize industrial base considerations into our strategic processes. Another important one is to restore a forum, an institutionalized discussion between the department and the industry CEOs. I think it's important to have that industry-Pentagon partnership. The better our industry understands what the Pentagon wants, when they want it, and how they want it, the better we can prepare our companies to give it to them.